Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Sister Shannon. I will be hosting the prayer call this morning, and God has filled me up with the word, and I'm going to let him use me and pour it all out, everything that he has given me or whatever he desires me to say. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for the rising of the sun, for the going down of the same. God's name is great, and God's name is greatly to be praised, to be honored, and to be glorified. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain for me, for you, for the world. Father and Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for your breath of life, your gift of salvation. Father, we thank you for abundant life upon your earth. We thank you for eternal life to come when Jesus returns for us and the world at large, God. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of another day, God. We thank you for calling our hearts hearts, our minds, our souls back into existence, God. We thank you, Lord, for using us today as your mouth, your feet, your hands, your eyes, your ears, God. Whatever position that you have placed us in, God, we thank you, Lord, for it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, the small, whatever it is, God. We thank you, Lord, because we know you are working it out for our good and for your glory, God. We thank you, Lord, today as I come before your people, God. Illuminate our hearts, God. Give us a heart and give us an ear to hear what the Lord is saying, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We need to hear a word from you, God. Help us, Lord, to hold fast the confessions of our faith. Help us to stand on the word and trust and obey you, God. As the world and the nations are changing, God, as the seasons are changing, God, we thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, God, using us to represent you on this earth, God, in Jesus' name, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your grace, your mercy, God. Forgive us, Lord, for any way that we have fallen short of your word, God. We ask you right now to cancel, destroy, and dismantle every satanic agenda that has been sent to steal, kill, and destroy what you have commanded in Jesus' name. And every tongue that rises up, it is already condemned, God. Set the atmosphere in our hearts. Set the atmosphere in our minds right now. Unite us as we come together, God. Let brotherly love continue from heart to heart and from breath to breath, God. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual wisdom and understanding today. We thank you, Lord, that as we hear your word, let us get understanding, God. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, and we give you praise, honor, and glory, God, for everything, the food, the clothing, the shelter, whatever you have provided, the healing, God, the strength, God, the endurance, God. Perfect the fruits of your spirit in each and every one of us on this line. Bless our families. Bless our children, God, as we say yes to your will and yes to your ways, God. That's the agreement between heaven and earth is yes. And, God, we open up our hearts, and we ask you to come in and sit on the throne of our hearts, God, and mold and make us more like you, God, through this word, through your anointing, and through your power. In Jesus' name, Lord. So I seal this prayer under the blood. And, Lord, we say it is done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you all, saints of God. Oh, boy, I've been up since 1 a.m. this morning, and I'm telling you, it is something to spend time with the Lord. Oh, God, I am just so filled, happy, and rejoicing, but I'm still humble in my spirit. I want you today to turn on your spiritual compasses with me, your compass. Compass. I'm like a compass. I'm saying a compass, like the direction. I want you to go on this journey with me today as we break bread and learn about God. I didn't really give it a topic. I said I was going to let the Holy Spirit just use me. I like when the Holy Spirit flows. I like it to flow freely in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to say we're going to call it doors. Open doors, closed doors, however the Holy Spirit places it in your heart, we're just going to say doors. We're going to look at some of the reasons. I'm just going to be before you for a short time, but we're going to look at some of the reasons why certain doors may be closed, and we're going to look at the reasons why certain doors may be open in your life as you walk on your journey with God. We're going to just thank God. I don't really have a base scripture, but I'm going to start by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 2, and mostly all of my scriptures will be coming from the English, EVS, English version reading, easy version reading, and the NIV version, okay? So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, we've all heard these before. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I am here to tell you that our world has already changed. God, prepare our hearts for the world. Prepare our hearts for the nation. We are not in Kansas anymore, meaning our world has already changed, and we have to change with it. So in our changing, we have to know what season we in. We have to know what time we're in. We have to know the direction that God will have us to go in. We have to have those that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Lord is saying. We need divine intervention. We need divine spiritual guidance to walk the way that God would have us to walk. And in the times that we are living in now, we need to keep our ears, our eyes, our hearts right so that we can hear, can know the seasons, the times, you know, when we can flow with the Spirit. So God can better use us on this earth. So we're going to look at the doors. There are some doors which lead into ways that are not right for us, even though we may not realize it. An open door may look like a blessing at first glance, but looks are deceiving, as we know, in the body of Christ. Like I said, keep your spiritual eyes on, your compass. But God knows what is on the other side of that door. When God closes a door, sometimes we become fixated on that closed door. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, God says, "And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall and will direct your path." That's if your eyes are open. But we, like I said, we're talking about doors today. And I will be giving you some scriptures, some you can read in your personal devotional time in reference to doors. Every scripture that I give you is going to be directed towards doors, direction, time, seasons. God knows the season, the time. He implemented all these things for us, not for him, because what God is looking at in our lives, it is like a movie picture. It has already been. But at some point in time in that picture, God can slide in and change the course of our whole world if we are looking for the signs. So let's look at five reasons. I'm just going to give five signs. I may not be able to get there today. Like I said, I'm just going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to use me. While it is crucial to know when God is opening a door, allowing us to step into a family role, church leadership, position, or untapped adventure, it's just as important to know when God is closing a door as well. Now, I'm Sister Shannon. I am not a therapist, and I am not a pastor. See many doors opening and closing in my own life, as I'm pretty sure you have. We always don't know why God allows a door to be closed, and we don't always know why God allows a door to be open. But we know that we want to stay on track with God, so we want to know. We want to know what God is saying when God is saying no to something. Often, I wonder the same thing sometimes myself thinks. I wonder why God says no to certain things, but I'm not God. It's not my job to keep questioning God. And I think sometimes we question him too much. We wonder too much. We wonder why. We stay stuck in the past. We want to go back. We want to know why. Why did our loved one have to leave so soon? Why did these things have to befall us? And why do we have to be placed in certain situations? I want to take you back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 19, God sent the angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And here it is, we find, Lot. I had to think of the name, I'm sorry. We find Lot, here he's sitting here with the angels. They're trying to destroy, they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We're starting at verse 19 and starting at verse 9. He says, "Get out of our way," they replied. These are the angels of the Lord. "This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge." I'm sorry. I mean, you know what I'm saying. "We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. Keep that in mind. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. Sometimes God got to shut that door, and he got to shut it tight. And on the other side, it may be people walking in blindness. It may be people that's there to destroy you. It may be people who are there to tear you down. But for whatever reason, sometimes God has to shut a door. He closes doors just as he opens them for our well-being, to keep us safe from evil, to help us to develop a deeper walk in him, to protect our healthy relationships, and shield us from harmful ones. That's why God sometimes shuts doors. He closes doors for our good. But we still need to realize when he has bolted that door and he has put a padlock on it. When God says, no, we're not going to keep visiting this. No, we're not going to keep going back to this. No, you're not going to keep questioning me. It comes a time in your walk with Christ that you just got to stand on his word and trust him that he's leading you to a place. He's taking you somewhere. And sometimes God has to allow that door to be closed. It may hurt. You may not like it. You may not want to give up whatever God is closing that door to. Maybe it could be a relationship. Maybe it can be a job. Maybe for some it could be a marriage. But for whatever reason, we know that God works everything out for our good and for his glory, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to whose purpose? His purpose, not our purpose. Number one, sometimes God can allow doors to close because they are unbiblical pursuits. So let us just cut to the chase, brothers and sisters. We all know if you are pursuing a relationship, business, endeavors, or any other venture that defies God's way, you best bet God will close that door. If you are a saint of God, he's going to close it. Because it is not godly for you to stay in that situation. It is not godly for you to start that business up with that person. It is not godly maybe for God to allow you to stay in a relationship that's going to cause you to fall short and not give him your complete time and attention. We know that the word of God first comes to the speaker. So when the word came to me, I received it because we all know some of you on this line have heard some of my testimony about me dealing with my singleness. But as God begins to deal with me and mold and make me into the woman of God that he will have me to be, I am starting to get understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for leaving the 99 and coming after me and coming after you, some of you. Sometime God never chose for us to walk in relationships where we got rose-colored lenses on. We can't see the boyfriend. We can't see those smooth-talking men and women who try to slither into our lives and the lifestyle that they're trying to lead. God's honest, protective nature wouldn't let us continue in relationships where he wasn't the priority. God is not going to let you stay in a relationship where he is not the priority of the relationship between you and that person, whether it be friendship, personal, or otherwise. Sometimes God just got to take you out of the situation. And friends, brothers and sisters, if you are chasing anything that centers on misplaced priorities, lies, and deceptive character, God is likely slamming that door shut. That's it. Number two, against Christian counsel. And let me help you understand what I'm saying about that. Have you ever, your pastor or a Christian mentor, one of your friends, somebody that you trust, that you know is walking with the Lord, they come, you ask them the same question, offer you the same wisdom, meaning your pastor, maybe that Christian mentor, friend, or whatever you want to call family member, they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying the same thing, just in a different way, where maybe God is using them to speak through them to say, just walk away. Walk away from this pursuit. Perhaps God's way of whispering to you through that person over and over again, this isn't good for you. This isn't the one. I have something better in store for you. Leave that door alone. Let it stay closed. Stop trying to pry it open. Stop trying to pry it open. Asking God why. That is behind. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. We can't keep looking back. There is nothing else back there. That's why God pulled you out. He pulled you out for a reason. In Genesis 19 and 17, and they brought them out. One said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. Sometimes God just got to pull you out of situations. Sometimes God has already pulled you out of situations, but you keep looking back. You keep longing for yesterday. You keep asking questions. Why? This is why God has sent me with this message, to tell you why. Because we are children of God. Have you ever had a child? I know many of us have natural children in the natural. You drag that child kicking and screaming. Look, you're not going. I'm not going to allow you to go. No, you can't go to this party. No, you can't do this. No, you can't go here. No, you can't stay over Susie's house. No. Your child is kicking and screaming, but you pulling at them. No, you're going to come and do it this way. No. And after a while of your frustration, sometimes you just got to back up. Put them in God's hands, pray over it, fast and pray for some situations, and then you just got to fall back. Well, God is not like us as human parents. God is not going to pull you into your destiny. God is not going to pull you. I mean, God is not going to wrestle with you. This is what I'm saying. God is not going to fight with you. He's a gentleman. He ain't got time to knock you over the head in a matter of speaking in the natural. He ain't got time for that. We got work to do here. So sometimes God, maybe he might nudge you. He might send somebody in your path, that same one that you might be saying, here you come, getting all up in my business. I am a God-fearing man or woman. I am old enough maybe to be your mother. But don't despise. Don't let nobody despise your youth, because God can use whomever, whatever, and do whatever he chooses to do, any way he wants to do it. And odds are, if all of your godly friends and counselors are shaking their heads, no, God is using their discernment to let you know this door is shut and there is a better one down the road. Number three reason why this door might be closed, gnawing feelings. Have you ever had gnawing feelings? I mean, something that just keeps welling up in your spirit. What they might say, you don't feel any peace. And you're entering into this engagement or into this contract, or you trying to sign something. You about to hop on this bus and go somewhere where God would not have you to go. God is saying, no. And then maybe somebody's keep asking you to co-sign for something, but you say, I can't say yes to this. I'm not feeling no peace. I'm rolling around in my bed at night. Give me some more time. Stop pressuring me. This just doesn't feel good in my spirit. And maybe God is saying, no, this endeavor is not for you. This is why you ain't resting at night. This is why you're wrestling. This is why you're tossing and turning. But once you give it to God and say, God, now you show me. And God say, well, right now it's not the time for you to move in this direction. It may be God might be saying it's not your time to make this decision to co-sign for anybody. And we know we got to be careful with that, because that attaches to your credit. It will cause you to fall into debt behind someone else, even if it is your children, a parent to a child or a child to a parent. Either way it goes, it's still, if it ain't right in God's sight, it ain't right. Simply put, the door won't be open. It might be a good business deal. You might see money coming. And Job 30:17 says, my gnawing pains take no rest. You won't get no rest until you line up with God's word. The Holy Spirit will always be tugging at your heartstrings, getting you to conform to God's will and God's will for your life. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We can't keep looking back. We can't keep revisiting the thoughts of the past, because after a while, you're going to start thinking about those things. They're going to start rising up in your flesh, and pretty soon, you're going to want to act on it if it's unchecked. And just as it is with business affairs and other affairs, we got to make sure that we got God's green light. We want to always walk in his will and not his permissive will. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 10, it says, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." Now, that's the word of God. That goes to show how well God knows our hearts. We want these things. We want to be in a certain place in our lives, but God is saying no. We think that God is trying to keep us and hindering us from living our best lives and our good life, and that's not true. God just knows the beginning and all in between. Take it from some of our other brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone on, and take it from David, our brother David, when he sinned with Bathsheba. You know, y'all know the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse. I'm just going to say, for the sake of time, starting at verse 22. "He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Sometimes we just don't know why. Especially when it comes to losing loved ones and things of this nature, it is not good to stay in that season. When you see that season turn into where you're starting to have bad thoughts, like thoughts like, I'm going to do something to myself so that I can go be with this person, or thoughts where I might want to hurt somebody else, or just where you're losing weight, you're not eating, you're not processing it. Remember that. And that Jesus wept. In John 11:35, Jesus wept when he lost Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. After that season, it is something coming behind. God is raising something up. God is going to restore something in you. In 1 Samuel 16:1, God asked Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" That's gone. That's there. I've already chosen my king, and that is David. Even though David has some rough spots getting from here to there, David ultimately served and did what God wanted him to do. Did he have to lose some things along the way because of his disobedience, because of his rebellion in some ways? Yes, he did. But in the end, he finished the race, and that's what our goal here is on earth. It is to finish the race. Job 17:9 says, "Yet the righteous hold to his way, and he who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger." God will make you stronger and stronger. So when God closes the door, we don't need to be wrestling with him. We don't need to keep asking him why. Once God gives you confirmation in your spirit and you know that this is the way that he will have you to go, allow him to do it. Allow him to use you. Allow him to cut you off from the things that you need to be cut off from. For a reason why, let me tell you why, so that you will know why God may be closing the door, is lack of sleep. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Let's be honest. Conviction is no fun. It's the Holy Spirit reminding us that we aren't in the right situation or making the wisest decision, and we must not only repent of our stubbornness, but walk towards the door God has opened for us instead. All of this, like I said, God brought it, the Holy Spirit brought it to me like this, and I was like, ouch and amen. But I receive it. I receive it because it needed to be in my spirit, and I needed to hear it. As many of you know, and I know many of us have lost loved ones, Sister Aquanetta, Sister Brenda Murray, and many others on this line. I'm not trying to diminish anybody and grief and all those things, but I lost my father January 25th of last year, and now we're coming up almost to another January 25th, and I want you to know God has kept me through it all. not because I've been faithful, not because I've always obeyed, but because of who he is and because of the calling that he has on my life, God has allowed me not to fall into deep depression and loathing and longing and all these things. And whenever I do think about my father now, I think of him fondly because I understand the order of life. I understand the order of life as God has set it into motion. So I no longer think about it with tears in my eyes. And if I get well up with tears, it's only because this is my flesh. But in my spirit, I say, you know what? I'm coming out of this. And one day, like David said, my father cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. And many others that I have lost along the way, just as many of you have. Loss is not easy. It hurts sometimes when God shuts a door. It really does hurt. In Isaiah, the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army, and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the waste, in the waterlands. My daughter came in the room the other day. I have been praying and praying and praying and praying since this election. I have been praying. And I felt like David. And she came in my room and said, well, Mom, basically, you can stop praying because the Republicans have taken over the House. I said, yeah, they may have taken over the House, but God is still in charge. And I did like David. I took off my sackcloth and ashes. I still prayed. I said, God, but let thy will be done. And I know God is going to keep us through this no matter what comes down the pipeline, because I put my trust in God, not in man. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it smells like. We are in Christ. It is when I am weak, yet I am strong in the Lord. We do not have to worry. We do not have to fear. If you believe the words of God, you will go forward. And whatever door he closes, you will let him close it. And you will just say, okay, God, I know you got something better in store. I know you're leaving me. You're taking me someplace. And I just want to go gracefully. God hasn't filled us up with all these talents, gifts, and abilities. I don't want to be all filled up when I get to heaven. I want to be empty. I want to be empty, and I want everything that I have done, everything that God had for me to do, I want it to be accomplished for Shannon, but for him. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He will finish it. He will. I don't know how, but he will. A door is essential and the primary purpose is to provide security by controlling access to the doorway. God controls that access in and out. So when he closed one, he may open another, or even he might have you waiting in between because he's getting you prepared for that next season. Remember, I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the beginning of that. I said this message is based on direction, time, doors. But basically, it's direction. God is trying to take you someplace. God is trying to get you someplace. Yes, weep. Mourn when you have to. Cry when you have to. But come on out of that. Take off your sackcloth and ashes. You really don't have no reason to keep crying. I once was young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. In Isaiah 55:11, this is the Amplified. So will my word be which goeth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. God is going to work it out. In Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Boom, boom, boom. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Sometimes God opens doors for him to come in more. But if you're still holding on to the handle of the door that's behind you, how are you going to know that? How are you going to know that? My last and final scripture for right now is going to be Revelations chapter 3, starting at verse 7. The angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. God will make a way. He will make a way, saints. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what decisions you may have to make. But allow God to take you through the process. I ask God so many questions. I feel like a little child sometimes. I ask God so many questions. And then sometimes I hear God say, just be still. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And on the promises of God, I don't care, even though the change of hands is going to change come January, these Republicans are going to take these seats. They're going to try to beat against us and try to scare us. And with their scare tactics, they're going to try everything that they can. But I will not be moved. We are going to stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't believe they will mess with Social Security too much. They may try to reform it, to mold it, shape it, however you want to put it. But they may try. But I don't believe that they're going to do it. In my spirit, I don't. That's not what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. But I do hear him saying, get ready, get prepared. Get prepared for what is to come. Stand on the rock of God's word. Stand on his promises. God made us a promise. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And my final fifth sign that God, for you to know maybe why God is closing the door, recalling God's character. We got to remember that we serve a mighty God. Jesus took water and turned it into rich wine. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. You can read that in your personal devotional time. He took a few fish and pieces of bread and fed thousands of people. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. God takes good things and makes them fantastic. He blows our definition of good out of the water. He becomes the God of miracles, the one to defy the impossible. If you ever stop and consider, I think God has better for me. Realize that your spirit is affirming God's character. It's confirming that God's nature is rich with blessings. We could never cultivate on our own. Friends and family, brothers and sisters on this line, if you have a good opportunity, one that makes sense and seems noble, but something in you keeps whispering, but God has more in store. I encourage you to listen to that voice. I encourage you to let God whisper his small voice of God, reminding you that some doors are meant to be shut so that he can bust better ones open wide. In your personal devotional time, read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 13. God will provide. The seasons are changing. You think about that. when it's summertime, you leave your door open, you want fresh air to flow through your home, nice light, the sunlight sometimes. But when winter comes, what happens? You close the door. Why? Because you don't want the cold element to come in. Because you don't want to feel the blusteriness, the snow. You don't want that. So you know the seasons change, so this is why you address your doors appropriately. You don't leave the door open and it's 30 degrees outside or 30 below. You close the door. Some of us foolishly, we cry out to God like Samuel with Saul. We cry out. The thing is dead. The thing is gone. I'm not speaking about our loved ones. I'm talking about whatever that is, whatever you want to place in it. It's gone. It's done. The relationship is over. God said no to that man. God said no to that woman. The next one that come, God will give you confirmation. But if he doesn't, anything that God doesn't do that we pray and we ask him for is because God knows what's best. He got something better in store. And that's what I'm learning in my singleness. That's what I'm learning. God has something better in store. And the more that I sit at his feet and allow him to minister to me, allow him to use me, I can't tell you the joy of deliverance, the fullness that I feel. I don't even feel sleepy right now. I pray that this word has helped somebody. And if you are going through the loss of loved ones and devastation, I pray that God will come right now and fill your heart with his anointing, with his power, with his presence. Because right now, we need to stay on our posts. We need to stay alert. I don't know when Jesus is going to return. None of us do. But I know when he comes, I want all of us to be like those five wise virgins, that we will be ready. Have oil in our lamps. Be ready. Have the lamp, have the oil, have the lamp ready. Have the stand ready. Whatever it is, have it ready so we can go. In the twinkling of an eye. We need Jesus right now. God is preparing our hearts to go to the nation. God is preparing our hearts to go to the brokenhearted, the fatherless, the motherless, the widows. God is preparing our hearts for the world that we live in right now. The harvest is many, but the laborers are few. God has prepared laborers on this line. It's time for us to stop fighting with one another, stop fighting with God, and start getting in line so we can start taking down some demons, tearing down some walls of Jericho, making a difference in this world. This is why you were saved. This is why he gave you all those talents, gifts, and abilities. This is why he may have gave you that extra money, if you have extra money, however you want to call it. He gave it to you for you to be a blessing. You want to hold on to it. You don't want to let it go. I'm not giving it to that person. God, you must be crazy. This is all I have. God say, no, let it go. The next thing you know, you let go of that. Wait. How? You let go of that $100. Here come $1,000. You let go of that $500. Here come $5,000. I'm just saying. You kick that child you praying for, that granddaughter you praying for, that grandson you praying for. You keep whispering in their ear. They keep bucking against it. They keep bucking against it. Next thing you know, you say, God, I can't handle this. Give it to Jesus. Put them in God's hand and watch God move. Watch God do what you can't do. My daughter Sabrina was in a situation. She just called me yesterday, Lord's will, and said, Mom, I'm ready to walk off the job. I'm going to quit. I tried everything in my arsenal to say to her, to tell her not to walk out of that job, even though they were treating her unfairly. But I told her, I said, if you walk out, look at all you're going to be forfeiting. It's not time for us to give up. But I placed it in God's hand. I said, God, what I cannot do as her sister in Christ and her mother, second, you can do as her father and her mother. Do it, God. Move in this situation. And I'm believing God when that girl wake up and get ready for work today, I'm believing God that she's going to say, Mom, I feel good. I'm going out of this door with my head up high. Don't tell me what God can't do. I see him moving in me now a little bit. He didn't allow me to see it at first, but I'm seeing it now. And I'm liking the person that God has created me to be. And I'm liking the fact that I'm able to come together and assemble myself together with men and women of Christ like yourselves. Pastor Bradford, Sister Joanne Thurman, Sister Hattie Cooper, so many of us. I'm not just picking names. I mean, all of y'all, Denise Jackson, so many. Tanya Norwood, great women and men and women of God. God is more than making us. God has taken us someplace. We got enough when we was out here in the world having to fight. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities. Do you hear what I'm saying on this line? Talk the line. Let's take a stand. God is dependent on us. We don't want to get to heaven with all this in us. We want to be empty. We want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, well done. You used everything, everything that I gave you. We ain't looking at the outward appearance. We're looking at the heart. We're not brought here to be judges, and we're not judging jewelry. We're brought here to serve. Let's be the servants of God, that God will be proud, that God will say hallelujah. God, with Jesus standing on the sidelines, can you imagine that? Think about that in your spiritual mind. Jesus is standing there. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Sister Aquanetta. Come on, come on, come on, Sister Joanne Brothers. Come on, come on, come on, Pastor Alfreda Bradford. Come on, come on. He's carrying us on. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Isn't it good to be amongst the land of the living today? Isn't it good? No matter what you have, be a good cheer. Be content. God is in control. You might not have what you want in your pantry. You might not have what you want in your refrigerator, but God is going to fill it up. I feel the anointing. God is going to overflow. God is about to overflow us. God knows what we need. God knows what we need. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for using me for such a time as this, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me this rich word, this anointed word, God. I pray, God, for everyone on this line, God, that they will, that you would just fill them up. Fill them up with all of you, God. God, change their hearts, God. Give them the right heart, the right mind, the right spirit, God, that they prepare to go forward in your earth today, God. That they will go forward with power, with might, God. Thank you for giving us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We cancel devastation. We cancel the confusion, division, anything, that everything that is not like you, God. We ask you to set our hearts right, our homes right, whatever needs to be set, whatever is crooked, we ask for you to make it straight right now, God, that we can continue to walk uprightly before you, God. You said in your word, no good thing would you withhold from those that walk uprightly before you, God. We may have to go through some things. We may have to suffer, God, but after we have suffered and you have settled us, God, then comes the blessing, God. Jesus wept, but after that, he raised up Lazarus, God. You're raising up some things, God. You're tearing some things down, God. You're tearing down the walls of Jericho, God. You're getting our homes ready, our hearts ready, God. For the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. Don't you know who you serve? You serve a mighty God. I don't care the notices that they're sending. I don't care about them saying they're going to shut this off, that off. God says, just be still and know that I am God. God, we thank you, Lord, for lifting us up, strengthening us, God, molding us, making us more and more and more like you, God. God, let us die to the desires of this flesh, that we will continue to live for you, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing each and every person on this line. I thank you for traveling, mercy, protection, going out, coming in, blessing our children, our children's children, everyone on this line, ministers, pastors, teachers of your word, prophets, God, evangelists, God. We thank you, Lord. Whatever position you have given us in the body of Christ, we say thank you, Lord, as we come together. Let brotherly love continue, God. Continue, God, to go through your process of sanctification, holiness, righteousness, God. It was symbolic, God, that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. That was symbolic, but right after, he raised him up. In Jesus' name, God, put on, hallelujah, put on your spiritual eyes. God has some things in store for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to put our trust in you, to lean on you, God. Sometimes, Lord, we do get a little weary if we want to be honest, God. But we thank you, Lord, for leaving the 99, coming after us. We thank you for blessing us, our homes, God.
Thank you for your healing over the woman of God, Dr. Alfreda Bradford. Thank you for blessing her, touching those vocal cords. And thank you, Lord, for using me for such a time as that this word was so beneficial for me, God. I needed to hear it myself, God, and I receive it wholeheartedly, God. Who are we that you are so mindful of us, God? I just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. God, thank you, Lord, for blessing our hearts, our minds, our spirits, God. Thank you, Lord, for molding. Thank you, God, for just blessing us in every way that you are, God. Thank you for strengthening us, God. Thank you for one more day. One more day, this day. Thank you, Lord. And we won't look back. We won't look back no more, God. We'll continue to run our way. We'll continue to look forward, God. We'll keep looking up to the hills from which comes our help, God. We say thank you, Lord. You're El Shaddai. God, we thank you. You're Jehovah Nissi. You're our provider. You're our healer, God. You're our lawyer. You are our defense, God. We put our trust in you, God, and we will, Lord, you say those that put our trust in you, God, that you won't fail us, God. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And I know that you have not brought us this far to leave us now, God. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry. Thank you for all the prayer partners, the prayer warriors. I don't know what they have to do today, but you do. Go before them, prepare the way, give your angels charge over them, set the atmosphere, God. Bless the work of their hands, God. Stir up their spirits, God. Give us the spiritual confidence that we can go forward. What did God say in Joshua? Be strong and courageous and be of good cheer. God is in control. Lord, we say thank you, God. We seal this prayer under the blood, under the power, and under the word of Jesus Christ, God. And we say thank you, God, as we decree and declare Satan is defeated, darkness is dispelled, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us blameless before the only wise God be dominion, power forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. My mind, my heart, and my soul says amen, amen, amen. This is Sister Shannon, servant of God. Everyone have a blessed day. I love you all in Jesus' name. Continue to let us to pray for one another. Let brotherly love continue. Remember, Jesus loves you. Amen. Sister Shannon signing out.
Come on, the Lord is breathing right now. He's breathing right now. Come on.
You are my destiny. You are the air I breathe. You are the reason why I sing. You are my melody. You are my destiny. You are the life I live. You are the reason why I sing. You are my everything. My destiny.
tonight. My destiny, yeah, yeah. My destiny, yeah, yeah. My destiny, yeah, yeah. My destiny, yeah, yeah. Take me higher in you. My destiny.